So the epistle for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always for you, for the grace of God that is given you in Christ Jesus, that in all things you are made rich in him, and in all utterance and in all knowledge, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that nothing is wanting to you in any grace, waiting for the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also will confirm you until the end without crime, in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 9. At that time, Jesus, entering into a boat, passed over the water and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him one sick of the palsy, lying in a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the man sick of the palsy, "Be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, "He blasphemeth." And Jesus, seeing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the man sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." And he arose and went into his house. And the multitude, seeing it, feared and glorified God, who had given such power to men. Please be seated. Take courage, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Well, in the gospel account today, we have our Lord healing this man and forgiving his sins. And obviously, when this man sick of the palsy in his bed is brought to our Lord Jesus Christ, in some ways we can assume that they were looking for a cure for him, for his sickness that he had. But it's interesting to see how our Lord sees his faith and forgives all of his sins and mentions nothing about curing his sickness that he has. And yet then, of course, the scribes question our Lord. They say amongst themselves that he blasphemeth. And our Lord, seeing what their thoughts are, and then he asked them the question, "Well, what's easier for me to do? What would you say is easier for me to do? To say that his sins are forgiven, or to say, tell him to arise and to leave his bed?" And so for one, they should understand that our Lord could read what they were thinking in their mind. They should have been able to tell at that point that he was God, that he could do that. And then in a way to show to them that he was Almighty God, he does both of the things. And so he cures the man, but he forgives his sins. Which is more important? I mean, granted, the man could have had this sickness for the rest of his life. But most importantly, at that point, his sins were forgiven. And that is what our Lord says to him. You know, take courage. Your sins are forgiven. And that is then the confidence and trust that we must show in Almighty God. God can do all things. And maybe the reason that our Lord also healed this man of his physical sickness was to illustrate the power that he has over all of us. Because if he says to him, "Your sins are forgiven," how many people will see that? I mean, that's the same thing as coming out of the confessional. I doubt there is a glow or a halo that is over your head when you come out. Maybe there is. But when you come out, it's like no one can tell that you've just been to confession. And so it is something that is between the soul and Almighty God. But then if this man is sick of palsy and he is in a bed and he cannot get out of that bed, for our Lord to say, arise and to leave your bed, that is something that everyone can see at that point. There is no denying the miracle that our Lord Jesus Christ had just performed at that point. There is no way they can deny it. And that is why our Lord equates the two together and says, okay, well then fine, what is easier for me to do? I mean, in a way, they are both miracles. The miracle of forgiving of sins, but then also then the miracle of this man being cured of his sickness. But too often, a lot of times, we just focus on the material things, and then we lose sight of the spiritual. That could be also why our Lord shows very firstly that he says, thy sins are forgiven thee. And even in a way, doesn't even acknowledge the fact that this man comes to him in a bed. And as I say, I am sure that the people that brought him in his bed were hoping for him to be cured of this sickness. And that is why then our Lord says to him, thy sins are forgiven thee. And then you have the whole interesting thing of the scribes questioning our Lord, and what is he doing? You know, how dare him say that? As if to say he doesn't have the ability or the power to do that, because they did not believe that he was God. And so for us to read this gospel account, one, it shows to us what is more important. Granted, sometimes the physical sicknesses, the illnesses, the crosses that we have, they are the means of sanctifying our soul. But granted, yes, it doesn't hurt to pray for a cure. I mean, God also rewards that confidence and that trust that we show in him by praying for that, or by making a pilgrimage, by going to Lourdes, these different things that can, you know, look for a cure. But do we also make our novenas and our prayers for our spiritual life? As I say, a lot of times we are so caught up in the material things, which, as I say, is not wrong to pray for, as long as we keep it in mind that it, as long as it's good for our sanctification, as long as it's good for our soul. Maybe $1 million would not be the best thing for us. Would be very good for the church, but maybe it just wouldn't be good for our own soul. So you're welcome to pray for the church to gain $1 million. But like I said, maybe for you personally, maybe it's not good. But when we pray for material things, yes, we always have to have that kind of, okay, if it is good for my soul. But spiritually, when we're praying for spiritual goods to our soul, I mean, that is the thing that we must try to understand and to realize. We have a need to pray for those things, to make our novenas, to pray for these intentions, to be a good Catholic, to be a strong Catholic, to be pleasing to Almighty God. And there you see that our Lord shows what is more important. But in order to show to these scribes that are questioning our Lord, he illustrates both and then poses the question to him, so what is easier then? You figure it out. And as I say, they are both strictly miracles, that he could just forgive the sins of this man. Or then to tell him, okay, fine, arise, stand up, go into your house. Because as I say, then for the scribes at that point, there is no denying the miracle that he just performed. I've given the story of St. Denis to some of the school children. If you don't know anything about St. Denis, his feast day is coming up, October 9th. St. Denis, at a time, they cut his head off to kill him because he was obviously a Catholic. He had professed the faith. So during the persecution, they had cut his head off, and so God gave him the grace to pick up his head and walk 3 miles with that. Now, if I was the one that killed St. Denis, I probably would be wondering if I did what I did was right. Because if I just saw the person I cut their head off, that he picks up his head and he walks 3 miles with no head, I might pose the question that maybe what I just did was wrong. And granted, some of the people at that time, they were converted because of that. And so in some ways, our Lord gives them that thing, like saying to them, if you don't think I can do this, here, I'll do something else that you can see. Just to prove you wrong, just so that you will see what I have done. And not that our Lord has to do that. But he does it to illustrate this fact that he has power to do whatever he wants. And so for us, it should elicit a greater confidence and trust in God. You know, we see with this man, he was cured spiritually because of his faith. And then on top of that, he was also cured physically because of that too. And so he was rewarded because of the strong faith that he had. And that is why our Lord says to him, "Take courage, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." It is because of this man's faith. Because our Lord could see that when he was brought with the bed. And so that is something that we need to take from this gospel account. We need to understand that for our own souls. The confidence and the trust that we must have in Almighty God. The ability of the God, yes, he can forgive our sins through the power of confession. But yes, he could cure us if we have physical illnesses, weaknesses, whatever it may be. God could cure us. But we must have that trust in God. And I think we can also make the parallel and the understanding when we look at this man. It's an illustration of human nature. We are weak because of original sin, so therefore we have our own sins, which need to be cured. But then because also of the weakness of human nature, we are also paralyzed by that. Maybe it doesn't show in a physical paralyzation. But we are all weakened by our human nature. And so that is also, yes, something that we have to be cured too. So as I say, this gospel account, it should help us to have a greater trust in Almighty God. Because we see, God can do anything at any moment. If it is his will. And so that is what we must pray. Yes, we can pray for any physical things that we need, material things, that's fine. As long as it's not a danger to your soul. And if it is, well then don't worry, God won't grant it then. But that's fine, we can pray for those things. As I say, always leaving it in the hands of God, thy will be done. But then to pray for, spiritually, to be stronger, to be cured of some of our weaknesses, our faults. We all have them. Every single one of us. But how often do sometimes we make a novena for that intention? As I say, a lot of times we make our novenas in different things because, okay, we need to pay the bills, we need to this or that or whatever. But do we also consider the great need that we have to pray for our spiritual life? And so do take from this gospel account, take that into consideration for your own soul. Because granted, we may struggle with certain sins, certain difficulties. And so we may wonder, okay, we need help with this. But have we prayed? Have we done the things spiritually necessary to try to help our soul with that? Or we just expect God to take it away at any moment? What also requires from us some work. And so, look at this man, the man sick with the palsy, and see, it does illustrate all of us. Sickness that we have spiritually and sickness that we have maybe physically too. We all have weak human nature. And so therefore, we must pray for them the graces and the strength to do God's will. That God will also see from us that because of our faith that he will cure us and say to us, take courage, because thy faith have made thee whole. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.